speakers today. It's going to be talking about various aspects of micro TCA, and we're going to try to do that in about 50 minutes and then have 10 to 15 minutes at the end of the event for questions and answers. You'll see in the left side of your attendee screen, the lower left, a little box where you can post a question, and those questions will be queued up, and we'll deal with them at the end of the event. If there are too many questions, we'll try to do triage and address the ones that are the most interesting and the most general purpose. But go ahead and post a question. And then at one point early in the presentation, there's a poll question that will pop up on the screen having to do with fabrics, and it would be a great use to us and the presenters if you could answer that question, and then we'll tabulate the poll results at the end. And so without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our four speakers, give their quick bios first. Our first speaker is Howard Glassman, who's Director of Business Development at GE FANUC Embedded Systems, and Howard oversees the company's business development, partner alliances, and sales initiatives in the communications market. And he's going to talk about why micro TCA is interesting and where does it fit and what applications is it suitable for. Our second speaker is R.J. McLaren from Pentair Schroff, and he's the communications segment manager for Schroff. And R.J.'s worked in a variety of positions at Schroff, and he's intimately familiar with both ATCA and micro TCA. Our third speaker is Justin Mall, who's got over 10 years of experience in high-tech marketing and sales experience and has been with Elma since 2000. And as the director of marketing for Elma, he's led the company's charge in several next-generation technologies, and including that is micro-TCA. He's going to talk about modular micro-TCA. Our last speaker, as many of you know, is Matt Hoover, who's vice president of sales and marketing at Embedded Planet. And Matt's developed software and firmware for 3X motion control systems. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in computer science from Kent State University, and he's going to talk a little bit about RapidIO. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, which is Howard Glassman from GE FANUC. So, Howard.
Thanks, Joe. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Today I'm going to present building modular communication systems using micro TCA. First, I'd just like to introduce GE Embedded Systems. We've been a leading provider of COTS embedded computing and communication solutions in the marketplace, and we'll continue to reaffirm our commitment to offering innovative solutions to the communications market. Today, I'm going to talk about a number of areas. I'm going to talk about micro TCA and where it fits in the marketplace. Talk about AMCs, which are the modular building blocks for designing micro TCA systems. Share with you the micro TCA platform and some application examples. And wrap up with some important things you may want to consider when designing micro TCA systems. And of course, summarize and participate in Q&A on the conclusion. Why is micro TCA so interesting? Well, it's a purpose-built system for high-speed communications. As folks move to internet and the IP protocol for next-generation communication platforms, they're going to need a high-speed fabric and backplane capability, of which micro TCA has been designed just for that purpose. In addition, there's advanced management features added to micro TCA in the form of intelligent power management and cooling, and of course an interface so you can use standard IP protocol to communicate with the micro TCA carrier manager for system management. The other interesting aspect of micro TCA is its cross-market desirability. We're seeing a lot of interest, not only in telecom, where it has a lot of purpose-built features like through swappability in the AMC, but also in areas like the military, government, and industrial and enterprise markets. And you're going to see today a wide variety of different chassis, which could suit a broad array of applications. And of course, the ecosystem is continuing to grow for micro TCA and advanced MC. So let's talk a little bit about where micro TCA fits. And of course, you know it fits very well in next generation telecom. for security gateways, different types of access solutions in the form of wireless base stations or wireline optical aggregation boxes, different types of voice over IP gateways, or even just basic communication servers. We're also surprised to see that there's a lot of interest in the military and government, particularly for secure IP communications at the next level. A radar, a video. We're seeing opportunities in medical and in industrial automation. And we're going to see the market for micro TCA expand into some traditional areas where at first we may have not thought it would participate, in the form of a ruggedized chassis, which would offer extended temperature environments for telecom and other applications, and even highly ruggedized conduction-cooled applications in the military space. The key building block for micro TCA is the advanced MC or the AMC card. Here you see one in the form of a single-wide, full-size module. And this is just a continuation of the basic IT concept of the blade server, but taken down to the next level using a very compact chassis and looking at AMCs almost as a mini blade. Some of the key benefits of using this modular concept for designing systems is that once you use this AMC module and you write your OS driver and you have your diagnostics and your management, you can take this module and you can use it in a micro TCA platform, but you can use that same module in an ATCA by populating a carrier card with AMC modules. So it's a very, very cost-effective way of designing next-generation systems, and a lot of compatibility between the management software for micro TCA and the management software for ATCA. There are some unique benefits of the AMC module in the form of hot swappability designed right into the management platform, and of course it's a very low cost through for any kind of operational expense or sparing. Provides some significant benefits. So let's talk a little bit about what the platform looks like. This slide shows you a block diagram of the micro TCA architecture on the left. Also, the chassis on the right is one of our development chassis that we use in our lab for interoperability testing. That particular chassis is capable of support distributing 1,200 watts. It's 300 millimeters 4U in height and is 10 gigabit capable on the backplane. So it's a very, very flexible chassis. And you'll see a number of different types of chassis and configurations as we move forward today. The other thing you want to take note of is the carrier manager capability in micro TCA. That owns all the resources in the chassis, manages the AMCs, the power modules, the cooling units, and shares some significant software compatibility from the management standpoint with ATCA. So it allows us to get to market a lot quicker than originally anticipated. Let's talk a little bit about a typical platform for micro TCA for doing secure IP communications. You'll see common building blocks in the form of a multi-core IP packet processor, a general-purpose processor, and a storage module. So with these key building blocks, you can design a variety of systems to support whatever your application requirements are. This just extends out the application examples in some other areas well-suited to next-generation communications in the form of a secure media gateway for voice and video, a base station for wireless, and an optical node for taking wireless traffic through an IP backhaul to connect to the network. So You'll see a lot of themes there where there are common building blocks which could be utilized across these various applications. This is our portfolio of AMC products. It's probably the broadest we have in the industry. You'll see networking I/O, processors, packet processors, storage I/O, very wide array. And we will continue to offer innovative solutions that you can use to design your micro TCA systems.
Howard, this is Joe. Let me interrupt. Can you speak a little louder? We're getting some comments here that people are having a hard time hearing you.
Some important things to consider when designing these systems. The drivers you're going to need, the diagnostics, management software. Vendors are going to be able to offer you integrated platforms that solve a lot of these solutions going forward. What type of a high-speed fabric you'll need for your application. If you want to carry forward specific software code, you might need certain levels of compatibility. What are your I/O requirements, configurations, ports, performance? You might want to support virtual voice traffic in the form of TDM over a switching fabric using a protocol like ITDM. And the concept of an application-ready platform. Is the platform tested and integrated? Are you going to offer? Are you going to use multiple modules from different vendors? So you might want to make sure they're interoperable. In summary, Micro TCA offers very high performance in a very small footprint. Wide variety of modules are available, which offer ease of technology upgrade, configuration flexibility, granular performance scalability, and, of course, the ability to reuse the same modules across multiple applications and systems. And the ecosystem is very healthy and continuing to grow. At last count, I think there's over 60 AMC modules offered on the marketplace today. I'd like to turn this back over to Joe Pavlot. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, Howard. And I'd like to let people know Howard talked a little bit about the interest in the on part of the military market in micro TCA, and PicWing has recently begun a new technical development subcommittee that's specifically working on developing rugged micro TCA SIS platforms and standardizing them, including forced air cooling and even conduction cooled micro TCA. So if you have any interest, get involved in that effort in PicWing, let us at PicWing know. So our next speaker, Justin Mall from ELMA, is going to talk a little bit about some of the applications that he sees for micro TCA. Justin?
Thank you, Joe. My name is Justin Mall. I'm the Director of Marketing for ELMA Electronic, and today I'm going to talk about modular micro TCA. ELMA offers backplanes and chassis for micro TCA and also has a cabinet division and a components division that are also developing products. So today we'll talk about modular micro TCA at the sub-rack level, also how single and double modules can be combined into one chassis, cabinet level modularity, and some other design considerations. There are a lot of benefits to having a modular design for micro TCA. Essentially, it saves a lot of time and cost and effort in customization, particularly in prototyping, starting with a new system. You don't need to start from scratch. You're building upon a base platform to customize your product with proven building blocks that have already been designed and tested and used in other applications. And also, the time to market is much quicker. Today you'll see a lot of different configuration possibilities for micro TCA. There are all sorts of shelves. There are single and double modules, all different widths for the modules, full size, compact, mid size, and so on. There are cube shelves, pico shelves. This is quite a bit of height, sizes, and configurations that are possible. So a modular design helps us start with a platform and not completely starting from scratch with all these different product types and configurations. So how do we do that? Well, one of the things we do are using plastic card guides. And this allows us to use card guides in however many slots we need. If we don't need full 14 slots, we simply can snap in as many card guides as are needed. Also, an ESD clip can simply snap on to these card guides for EMI consideration. And also, the plastic card guides help provide electrical insulation. There are extrusions, which are basically the frame of the chassis, and these could be easily cut in any length. So depending on what type of size, what type of configuration you need for the chassis, it's really easy to cut these extrusions in different sizes and snap in the card guides as are needed. Another way to have modularity in the sub-rack is to use divider plates. And this is a way that we can take essentially a double module and turn it into two single modules, as you see in the illustration. And this is just a photo of what it looks like in a live product. You can see on the left, you can see the divider plates inside, and the product on the right, you can see actually with the modules populated. Next, I'll talk about cabinet-level modularity. And this is a concept where you have open card cages, heat exchangers, and fan trays, and these could be set up in lots of different configurations within inside the cabinet. The card cage does not have a panel on the top or the bottom, so you could actually stack multiple open card cages on top of each other and have the fan tray blow air through multiple card cages along with the heat exchanger. And again, this allows a lot of different configurations. You could have two stacked, three stacks. You could have different sets and so on. This is a liquid heat exchange flow for the modular cabinet. I won't go too much into detail, but you can look at the diagram later, and you could see how the cabinet can dissipate up to 6 kilowatts in a closed-loop system. And this is just a photo of what the modular cabinet would look like. So let's go to cooling. You could also incorporate various configurations for the cooling as well. You could have a push-only or push-pull configuration. You see the illustration on the bottom left would just have one fan tray underneath the card cage. And on the right, bottom right, you would have a fan tray both above and below the card cage for a push-pull configuration. Doing thermal simulation and testing is very important for micro-TCA. And in this example, you could see on the far right, the two slots on the rightmost have a lot higher CFM through the slots. This was because of the power module was placed in that unit. So after we do simulation, we could say, let's crank up the CFM in the spots where we see the hot spots. For example, if you look at the illustration on the bottom, the red area, that's not heat. That is actually the speed of the air. So the redder it is, the more airflow that's going through. Well, we had the power modules on that side of the chassis. So what you can do is you could either put a dedicated fan, for example, under that area to crank up the airflow and the heat dissipation, or you could use air baffles or other techniques to redivert the air. Let's talk a little bit about micro-TCA, like Joe mentioned. One thing I wanted to point out, I've already seen an ad out there for rugged micro-TCA, but I do want to point out that this is very early in discussions, and there's not any real true rugged micro-TCA solutions out there yet. Sure, we could all put a micro-TCA backplane inside a rugged chassis like you see on the top photo there, but there are a lot of things we need to do in the rugged micro-TCA committee before we come up with some solutions. Statement of Work has just been released. One of the things we need to do is really define the level of ruggedness for COTS. Are we talking about just commercial, or are we talking about true military COTS ruggedness? Also, we need to come up with agreed-upon test methodology. The connector has been reviewed, and it's people are looking at whether it's rugged enough for true mill applications, and those kind of tests and reviews will continue. And there are also discussions on items such as the board sizes and much more that need to be discussed first. When we do get to rugged micro TCA, some of the possible solutions are using rope coil isolators, like you see in the illustration there, dampers, and other solutions for sealed environments. You might see conduction-cooled versions and possibly a new faceplate. There are a lot of different backplane configurations as well. The lower backplane you see there does allow both single and double modules in the same backplane. One interesting solution is middle backplane, you can see that there are compression mount connectors on there. And what's nice about that is those connectors, if they were damaged, they're held on with two screws. They could simply be unscrewed and have a new connector replaced on there. One thing that's important in the backplane is for simulation and characterization to be done on the backplane. The layer counts can get very high, so that's something that really should be done for micro TCA backplanes, and something to work with your vendors very closely on. Just wanted to throw this in, a sneak peek of a micro box. This is really going to be expected to be a real revolutionary solution for micro TCA. This is a brand-new product that's coming out at the end of the month of a partnership between ELMA and Microblade. And this is a 1U solution with 5 bays of up to 10 mid-size modules can go inside this chassis. And there are all sorts of different configurations with a modular design that could go inside this chassis. And it has tremendous cooling. So this is something that you'll see in coming months, and if anyone has any questions, feel free to contact us. In summary, modular micro TCA really makes customization a lot faster, easier, more cost-effective. Also, you are designing on a proven platform, so you're not starting from scratch, and this really reduces your risk. Again, we'll see a lot more coming out in rugged micro TCA, so keep an eye out for that. And it's very important, especially with these new specifications, to look closely at the thermal backplane simulation and testing, and have vendors really prove that the performance for the chassis is there. And from there, I'll pass it back to Joe.
Okay, thanks, Justin. I think that was a great introduction to ELMA's modular micro TCA system, and I think you can see how easy it is to put lots of different kinds of configurations together in a hurry. Let's see if the push question thing is working. Our next speaker, R.J. McLaren from Pentair Schroff, is going to go into some configurations and particularly some applications as Schroff sees it for micro TCA. R.J.?
Great, thanks, Joe. So basically Schroff provides chassis and backplanes and a lot of the AMC front panel and handle components, and really going to build off kind of what Justin was talking about there. He did a nice job of going over a lot of the components and how configurable micro TCA is, and I'm going to focus more on some applications and talk about some chassis that are available, and as I can, we'll highlight also AMCs that are out there that are available that can be configured for these type of systems. So I'm going to talk about first a media type server system that showcases high performance and quite a bit of redundancy, and then Next one we'll talk about is a base station, WiMAX, and show how it could be moved into an outdoor location, and talk a little bit more about the clocking and be a little bit more complicated backplane. As was kind of mentioned before, you got to be you want to work close with your suppliers there on optimizing your backplane for micro TCA, dependent on the application. And then going to move on to my last example, which would be an industrial PC type, where this is really focused more on the low end, very cost sensitive, and minimal features there. So, so for the first application, this is a the idea here is a media server application showing a dual micro TCA subrack, one on top of each other, with an integrated upper and lower cooling unit. This is all packaged into one chassis. So each subrack there contains a backplane, and that would support redundant power modules located one on each side, and then also redundant MCH module slots, and then 12 AMC slots. Our cooling units would be located at the top and the bottom, as shown there, and they would contain the enhanced management modular controller inside each cooling unit. And we also have available, if needed, telco alarm capability, and that's kind of pictured in both of those systems there that comes out that comes out the front of the cooling if that is required. The airflow in the system comes in from the lower front up through the chassis and would exhaust out the top rear. The backplane has been optimized, and I'll go over that in a little bit more detail for layer count, and then the chassis does contain a lower removable air filter. So on the next slide, so taking that chassis, I'm now looking more at the subrack and just trying to give an example of what this might look like in this particular example populated with cards. Again, the power modules are located on the right, and are on the far left and the far right, and with the MCH card next to it. Then each subrack would contain three server-type subsystems, and that would consist of two CPUs and two dual-ported SATA disks. The diagram to the left kind of shows how this might work if you're looking at like an array-type configuration. And this would then support multiple levels of arrays that would work well for like video applications. So depending on how the application could be used, you could have multiple levels of redundancy through the system, or increased capacity. And then ideally for the communication between the separate subracks, you could you probably want 10 gigabit Ethernet connection through the MCH there for maximum performance. Going to talk about how the backplane routing would be done here. So the way this reads is again showing the power modules, one on each side, then the MCHs, and then the AMCs in the middle. And so this backplane topology is fairly well simplified, and because it only needs to it shows the gigabit Ethernet through the common options routing from MCHs to each AMC for ports 0 and 1. And then we're simply just doing direct connects between the CPU and the hard drive slots between ports 2 and 3. And so this is a very simplified backplane routing, and we're not routing clocking, we're not routing the fat pipe region. So here we're optimizing the backplane connections and layer count to support this particular type of application. So switching to the next application, a base station, specifically here looking at possibly a WiMAX solution. To the far left, or to the top left corner, that is our 3U micro TCA chassis. It's a horizontal configuration, and it's very modular. And there I've got our splitter kits installed on the far right subrack, and that supports two single full-size modules in each splitter, But if you don't have that included, then it can support a up to four in that particular sub-rack of the double full-size modules. And just showing the bottom left how the splitter kits slide into the card guide, there's a slide in there. So you can actually do that as a last-minute configuration option. And then this could be done for an indoor application and proven out. And then if needed, could go into an outdoor environment. So a box is shown on the right. And the nice thing about this, because the MicroTCA's footprint is so small, this is great because you know, you're not taking up a lot of space. And just showing that being vertically mounted into 19-inch rack rails inside that environmentally sealed box, that could have been deployed out to a tower, be pole-mounted or up on a rooftop, things like that. So here now I'm just showing how this might be configured for a base station. So this is the sub-rack area. So on the far right, showing three baseband cards, and those are the double full size that I referred to, and each one would be connected to a transceiver there. And so you could populate three there, and then up at the top right, you'd have an AMC card that would be your GPS receiver for the clocking needed for that. And then the AMC, and there's where you'd have to put in the splitter kit to split your that double sub-rack. And then just to the left of that clock card could be a backhaul, depending on the type of backhaul you need. And then the sub-rack adjacent to that to the left is then the where you would have redundant MCHs, and then you could populate with a CPU slot and a hard drive slot. And then to the next to the far left is space allocated for redundant power modules. And in these slots, we've allowed for up to 12 HP with power modules. And today, there's various power modules out there. The 6 HP versions tend to be around 350 watts. If you need to get the 600 watts, those are showing to be about 9 HP. So you have to adjust according for that. And then if you're looking for AC input, those could be up to 12 HP. So in this configuration, we're allowing for up to 12 HP, because you could also use this for other applications, not just base stations. But depending on the actual width of your power module, you can slide it in there and then put a filler panel there instead. And actually, I forgot to mention you that on each side is a cooling unit for the airflow to go from right to left. So there's two redundant cooling units in there as well. So this backplane topology that I'm showing you, the system, is a little bit more complicated than the previous example. It still has the common options routed the same. We don't have as many direct connects between a CPU and a hard drive slot. But then in the FAT5 region, we've got routing to each AMC, star routing there, for redundancy between those ports for that FAT pipe region. And then also showing the clock routing, so from MCH clock 1 to the AMC clock 3, and the MCH 2 clock 1 to the AMC clock 1, and then bidirectional for the clocks 2 for the MCH and the AMC, which is needed for this type of application. All right, so for my last example, kind of going to the far extreme, more on a price performance, and showing a very low-feature, low-cost MicroTCA cube-type chassis that can be installed into an industrial-type cabinet for control applications. So because price is typically a very important factor in this, we've eliminated the need for a separate power module and even for an MCH. But again, this comes down with stripped down features, but it does still support the AMC module. The sub-rack contains an open-frame AC power supply with 12 volts that goes directly to the backplane, and then that does a 3.3-volt conversion. Then it has FETs for power management. That's kind of shown at the bottom with the back being open. That's the power supply there, the AC input, and then connected to the backplane. This configuration, this shows there are four slots then available, one for CPU, and then three additional slots for either hard drives, graphic card, or a special type of controller card that might be designed in. There's an unmanaged PCI switch card that would be needed in the far left that would allow for two Ethernet ports that would come out and split the 4x PCI Express links from the CPU into the links routed across the backplane to the other AMC slots. And then that would also include the clocking for the PCI Express as well. So to show the backplane topology there for that, so again, this is a different routing configuration, quite a bit different than the other ones we showed. And so on the far left, it shows how the routing is done, as I was just describing, for the PCI Express lanes from the CPU to the switch and then fanned out to the AMC slots. The diagram on the right shows in the clocking and how that power management layout would be done. So, certainly those are just some of the applications. I'd like to say that we've got a dedicated website, a-tca.com, where you can go and look at all of our ATCA products, micro-TCA products, and there you can download user manuals, get test reports, get the kind of the latest information on what's available in micro-TCA and ATCA. And with that, I'll give it back to Joe.
Okay, thanks, RJ. Good stuff. Our last speaker today before we do the questions is Matt Hoover from Embedded Planet. Matt's going to talk about his view of MicroTCA, and in particular how they see applications for Rapid I/O as a switch fabric for MicroTCA. Matt?
Excellent. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. I'm going to run down through a number of the AMC modules and how the AMC modules are used both from a processor, DSP, and I/O standpoint in a micro-TCA chassis and the fabric interface. Just kind of a summary of the topics we'll cover is the software and how that's a reusable architecture between a number of different systems, how the AMC modules are building blocks basically for those types of systems, and then talk about the fabric interface, the high-speed interconnect. The micro-TCA system allows you, by using the advanced MC or the AMC modules, one of the most important pieces is the common software. So the software that you do for a processor module or the DSP or the I/O card, that architecture you can use in different systems, whether it's an ATCA larger type system or down to the micro-TCA systems that we're talking about today. That software can be reused. So it's your application code, your drivers for your OS, diagnostics, the module management, everything that you do from a custom application standpoint to build up your specific system, you can reuse that between higher end, multiple product lines or different systems between advanced TCA and micro-TCA. Within those building blocks or within that architecture for the software, there's the three different modules that we'll talk about here. The control processors, which is handling, whether it's the data control or system management or the communication interface outside the system. The control processor allows you basically your CPU with your OS and to do all the system management capabilities. Once again, reusing all the components and the software in the system. The DSP modules combined with the processor module allow you to do what I would say the heavy lifting or the high-end data processing for the application, whether it's data, voice, video, whatever the type of application you're doing. You can put, as some of the examples that we've seen, multiple DSP modules into the system and architect your system and software to meet the application that you have. In addition to just the standard DSP functionality, you can have a high-speed interconnect, whether it's PCI Express or Gigabit Ethernet or Sierra Rapid I.O., back to the processor module. So not only do you have the data processing capabilities in the DSP, but you also have a high-speed interconnect back to the processor and the same system management and common software that we've talked about. For the I.O. modules, there's a number of different, depending on the application, it could be storage, it could be imaging. I have a number of telecommunication modules listed up here from different vendors. Then these could be standard off-the-shelf modules or like Embedded Plan is doing for some customers, some custom, you know, specifically related to their FPGA or ASICs or their specific system, but they're deploying that into a micro TCA system leveraging the common system management and software. Within the micro TCA system, there's one of the key benefits is, as the presenters have talked about today, is the fabric interface on the backplane. So the fabric interface can be Gigabit Ethernet, PCI Express, Rapid I.O. There's other options, but the key with the Gigabit Ethernet gives you the benefit of all the infrastructure from a software standpoint. Very similar with PCI Express, there's a lot of software and compatible hardware available for that. One of the things that I'll touch on here specifically today is Sierra Rapid I.O. as the backplane interface or also on the modules between components. We've used and working with a number of customers on using Sierra Rapid I.O. to communicate across the backplane both in ATCA type systems and specifically here in the micro TCA and related to the benefits of switching, the hot swap capability, and the high-end interconnect between a lot of different systems with a high amounts of data. And also on the Rapid I.O. is embedded in a number of the different processors, DSPs, and switch components that are available from different vendors. The next slide kind of summarizes the fit of Rapid I.O. as related to some of the other interconnects that are used. Once again, we're working with customers. A lot of customers are using Ethernet as a way to go from, you know, different systems to legacy systems or between, you know, within a chassis or within a box. But they're also looking at the Rapid I.O. as an interconnect between or on the backplane for the processors, between the processors and the DSP, and also on individual modules between components, whether it's a DSP to an FPGA or a DSP to a processor or all three for that matter. And it just kind of summarizes the slide here where Rapid I.O. fits from a large complex interconnect where there's a lot of data and a lot of high-speed traffic. And the next slide, I won't go through all these, but next slide kind of summarizes some of the advantages that the Sierra Rapid I.O. gives above Ethernet or PCI Express. And we still see a lot of customers are going to be using Ethernet and PCI Express depending on the example. But we have a number of customers looking at Rapid I.O. because of some of these advantages related specifically to their application. So it's really application dependent on which fabric or which interconnect fits specifically for your system. Some of the key ones to note on here are the managed quality of service, the way to be able to make sure the traffic is happening for your application, and also the bandwidth, the speed of the traffic. On the next slide, just gives you an example of some of the systems that, I mean, RJ and Justin have talked about for the enclosures. And the key main reason I wanted to go over this slide was that just the different options of configurations. You see the standard 19-inch racks, but you also see at the bottom left and in the middle, you know, very different types of systems. As Justin mentioned, the two systems in the middle are being defined now from what I would call an industrial or a military type system. But the benefit is these AMC modules that you're using today are the very same modules that you would use in the future. I think one of the differences would be shock and vibe testing, that type of thing. But from a software standpoint, the processors, the components, the software architecture is all portable between those different systems. And one of the benefits where you would see Ethernet being used, or PCI Express for that matter, is the interface to legacy or other types of systems, whether it's a existing VME chassis or a compact PCI, they're using, some of the customers that we're working with are using the micro TCA systems as a bridge or a communications hub to legacy or existing systems that they have. Once again, to kind of go back to the software aspect, there's a lot of different software building blocks that you can use on top of the AMC modules, whether it's related to the RTOS and the drivers, debugging, all the different debugging tools, whether it's JTAG or the tools that are in the different vendors' development environments or IDEs, and the support for multi-core or, most importantly, all the management features that have been talked about today, the inside the micro TCA chassis. And all this can be managed and related back into the function of the system, back into the control processor or the DSPs. And lastly, just to show the common architecture here from a software, the AMC modules are the building blocks into the micro TCA system, whether it's telecom, medical, or mil-aero, and that software is used to kind of specify the application of the system. And you can move that to, you know, a small four-slot micro TCA system all the way up to, you know, multiple 19-inch rack micro TCA systems. But the key is the AMC modules and the software is all portable between those systems. And Joe, I think with that, I will send it back to you. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Matt. That completes the formal presentation part of this cast. We've got a few minutes to answer some questions, and some questions have, in fact, come in from the audience. I'll try to dispatch them to the right person as best as I can. Here's a question that came in. What's your recommendation on middleware for chassis management and fault management? I'll throw that out to the group. Anyone care to comment and bring your phone off mute?
Yeah, Joe, this is Matt. I know we're doing a lot of work with one of the vendors I had listed on one of the slides there, with Enea, on a lot of their messaging and management software that they have.
Okay.
So if a customer is looking for that, I would recommend them checking on Enea.
Yeah, okay, good. Anyone else have a comment? Okay, here we've got a question from one of our major mill suppliers, Tier 1 suppliers, who's asking about the levels of ruggedization. And this questioner has an interest in products that are defined to each of the levels in ANSI V to 47. And what how does micro TCA address that? I think I can answer that at least at the beginning, which is for the rugged micro TCA committee, which again has only been in operation now a couple of months. The plan of record is to use ANSI V to 47 as the benchmark for defining the various levels of ruggedization. And in fact, the subcommittee is already building test fixtures at the component level and at the chassis level, so we can test all of those levels of V to 47. Anybody else have a comment? Okay, here's a question aimed right at you, Matt. It says, question for Embedded Planet. How do suppliers get costs down? Customers are asking for different fabric interfaces. Doesn't this keep volumes low and costs high?
Yeah, I think the, I mean, we're seeing that with customers, you know, when they get into the volume, there's been discussions of having the cost at the, you know, very low, you know, I don't want to say PC card level, but, you know, very inexpensive. And I think we're still at a stage where we haven't, you know, Howard might be able to better answer this, but I don't think we've got to the volumes yet that would really get you there. I think there's a good chance to get to there on some of the PCI Express type modules or the Ethernet type modules, given the applications, but I think the volume is going to be the real key there to bring the pricing down.
Sure, and that takes time. I mean, I, in my capacity as PCMIG president, I'm always getting calls from the analysts 6 months after PCMIG completes the spec, and they want to know where their billion-dollar business is. And, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years, and it's the same question. And I explain, look, I can't tell you how big it's going to be, but it always takes 4 or 5 years. And, you know, it did for VME, it did for Compact PCI. ATCA is in its fifth year, and it's just finally starting to see some real deployment volumes. And so I think it always takes a little time for the ecosystem to develop. Anyone else want to comment on volumes and costs and where they think MicroTCA is headed?
Howard, I mean, one thing we're looking at GE is the ability to go cross-market with our...
Can you a little louder, Howard?
One of the things we're looking at GE, of course, is the ability to go cross-market with some of our solutions. So I think that'll help a lot, you know, if we can define a PCI Express-capable module that can be sold not only in the military and on the commercial side, but to telecom for selected applications. I think that'll go a long way. So we're looking at that a lot. And, of course, you know, PCI Express, I think, potentially could be a lower-cost alternative than Ethernet as we move forward.
Okay. Anybody else have a...
Yeah, this is R.J. Wishroff. I'd comment on from the chassis side. You know, the things that I... you know, probably showed through the presentation is a lot of the different backplane topologies, and that's one thing that is definitely coming out is all the different routings that can be done, especially as you start to finalize your production chassis and want to optimize, you know, that particular side. So definitely see a lot of customized backplanes, and you know, that's kind of a good and bad thing, I guess, because, you know, it is tough to get economy of scale there, but you have the ability to optimize your backplane, reduce layer count, do those kind of things, so that helps out quite a bit. The other thing that I think, again, kind of say the same thing for the different market segments is that we are seeing a lot of interest in different markets, so that's just going to help drive the volumes up for the different AMCs, and that's really probably where a lot of the, obviously, the cost is and that, but...
Yeah, your colleague and my good friend Mike Thompson is fond of saying customers like their standards a little different.
Yeah, that's right.
So here's sort of a related question. Have people started deploying MicroTCA systems? I think we sort of touched on that, but we'll go a little farther. What's the revenue expectation this year for various MicroTCA products? Anyone care to take a stab at that? I think we're less than 12 months from time the spec is ratified, so I think, you know, from what I see from the PCMIG perspective is we've got a tremendous amount of development systems being built and deployed into labs, but it's certainly not anywhere near reaching deployment. That's going to take a few years. Anyone else have a thought on that?
Yeah, this is RJ with Schroff again. Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. Definitely a lot of development systems out there. And again, as I hinted, there's a lot of different applications, interests, and different configurations. The ones that are actually getting close to deploy is probably more of a, you know, they're using the basic pieces of MicroTCA and they're kind of porting over to their particular you know, they're pointing to the next generation technology, so they're owning a lot of the pieces, so they're able to move quickly using the MicroTCA platform. So where they're taking a couple, you know, off-the-shelf modules, but then they're owning most of the total solution, so, you know, they have more control over that. The MCHs, you know, they're still coming out and becoming available, and I think that's one of the key things that's got to get out there and become more stable within the overall system.
And more fully integrated, I suspect, as well.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, this is Justin with Elma. I was just going to add that, yeah, mainly we're seeing people just doing prototyping at this stage, but what's been interesting about MicroTCA is the level of interest has just been phenomenal from day one, and really a lot larger degree of interest, excuse me, than a lot of other new specifications that we've seen, and that's probably related to what RJ said of because there are so many different types of applications out there that could use MicroTCA. It's one of the reasons why we've seen so much early interest.
Okay. Before I go to the next question, I want to remind all the attendees that after we get through the Q&A here, We're going to bring up a slide that shows you where you can get the archives of this ECAS. They should be up and available on the Open Systems Publishing website in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. You can see all these presentations. So stick with us a few more minutes. We get through the questions. We'll bring that slide up. Here's a question from one of our larger telecom equipment providers that says, are any of the vendors providing NEBS Level 3 design chassis? If so, how do they validate that it in fact meets NEBS Level 3?
This RJ with Shroff. I could take a stab at that one. So basically, usually when we go into those, we typically design to meet. So, you know, we have known good design practices, and we have people that we work with that take our systems through that. So as of to date, I could pretty confidently say that I know of no one's taken a full micro TCA system through that stage. But typically we'll do, you know, due diligence and design to meet, and then as our customers go through those stages, we will work with them through that.
Sure, those are all custom tests.
You're right.
End up having to test the final configuration.
Right.
Run a little short of time here. I'm going to try to go through a few more questions here. Here's one that comes in. Do you see service availability form as a requirement in micro TCA? Talked about middleware a few minutes ago, and Ania was mentioned. What about SAF compliant software? Anybody seeing that?
Yeah, Joe, this is Matt. I see the, a lot of this stuff migrates down from the ATCA world. So I think I don't think it's 100%, but a lot of the things that the customers are looking for from an interoperability standpoint need to be there. So I think the service availability is probably a key one.
Sure, and reuse as well.
Right.
Go ahead. This was Howard, just kind of a general comment. We are seeing a lot of high availability requirements, particularly in the telecom space. It's just a question of, can the application economics support it? Sometimes it's a cost issue.
Right. Here's a question from another large telecom equipment provider. I'll ask it to the group, do you have a 1U chassis? I think Justin showed us Elma's 1U chassis. Do any of the rest of you guys have 1U chassis, and do you think that's important?
This is RJ with Shroff. We've done some different configurations in that area. I've seen some other vendors probably working on that type of solution. And I think there's general interest on the lower, low-cost enterprise-type applications for a 1U box. The challenge there is really going to watching your thermal performance needs there. And keeping an eye on that, depending on what's going into that box. So,
okay.
This is Justin with Elma. Yeah, we're just coming out with a 1U solution in conjunction with Microblade with Mike Franco is the president of Microblade, and he's one of the key. He's largely known as the one of the fathers of micro TCA, and developed a 1U solution that really takes a close look at the cooling that RJ was talking about, and we're demonstrating how in the airflow configuration of how you could really dissipate a tremendous amount of heat. And I saw another question pop up about the micro box, and if people have more questions about that, they could contact me offline so I don't take up too much of the time.
Okay, couple last questions. These have specific companies that they're addressed at. Here's one for RJ. Customer or attendee asks, how do I implement a 4-sector base station instead of the 3-sector in your example? Is there a short answer to that?
So on the 3U box there, it's very expandable, meaning you can add another, you can reconfigure the system and add one more baseboard in there and support up to 4 sectors.
Okay, thanks. Here's one specifically directed to you, Justin. It's two questions. I'll wrap it into one. What's the typical lead time for a micro TCA chassis, and can your modular design be used in large volumes too, or is it just really meant for small volumes?
Second one first. Modular design is meant more for smaller to medium volumes, but one thing we can do is while people are doing their development and lower run volumes, use modular design. They come back later on and say, okay, now we need to go to larger volumes. We could always switch from the extrusion base to a sheet metal solution for better economies of scale. So there's always that flexibility.
Okay.
The lead time is one of the advantages of the modular design is a lot of flexibility in the designs, and it could really shorten the lead times, particularly for customization. Lead times could be 2 to 4 weeks for some standards. There are also express products out there, for example, for development units where we'll actually have those units stock them so that customers could get them from just from stock and get them in a matter of days.
Okay, thanks. And before we go to the archiving information and wrap this up, there's one last question. And, Howard, this is directed to you at GE. Is GE going to offer fully integrated micro TCA platforms? Howard, are you on mute?
Yes, thank you. With our broad base of AMCs, we spent a lot of time doing configuration interoperability testing. So I think what you're going to see in the future is we have some plans for what we call an application-ready platform for micro TCA, which would have all your management software integrated along with some core AMC modules. So stay tuned.
Okay. With that, I'd like to wrap this thing up and thank everyone for all the speakers for the time and effort they put into making their presentations and also the attendees for listening to us for the last hour. As you can see in the slide in front of you, the archive information will be available in about an hour to 2 hours on the Open Systems website. And we're always looking for feedback on how to make these events better. So if you've got something nice to say or some constructive criticism or maybe even some non-constructive criticism, we'd love to hear from you. And the email address is ecast@opensystems-publishing.com. So I want to thank everybody, all the attendees today, for listening to this. I hope you found it interesting. Looks like micro TCA, I agree that the interest level is as high as I've seen in anything that PCMIC has done since ATCA, and it looks like it's going to be an interesting few years. I want to thank everybody. That wraps up this presentation, and I want to thank you for attending and hope to see you next time. I know.